This is at L6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, with the official broadcast for July 2013. Tonight, presidential comment, headquarters news, and on the international scene.
Ham Radio will share a ride to space on a pair of joint mission satellites, and lithium battery safety is once again a major concern.
Yes, that and more on tonight's NZART official broadcast. Good evening, everyone. Presenting the broadcast, I'm Jim Meachins at L2BHF in Nelson. Leading tonight's broadcast is presidential comment. Here's NZART President Vaughan Henderson, ZL1TGC. Vaughan.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. I'd like to record my appreciation to those amateurs who took part in the NZART Memorial Contest over the weekend of July 6th and 7th. I was not able to take part myself this year due to family commitments, so my thanks to those of you who did participate, keeping alive the memory of those radio amateurs who lost their lives in World War II. Coming up next month is another event, the 16th Annual International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, which is being held over the weekend of August the 17th and 18th. Over 360 registrations have been logged on the Lighthouse website, at www.illw.net, and it's great to see at least five ZL stations will be active. There's still time to register your operation if you are planning on taking part. The change to PIB 46 Edition 14, introduced in May this year by Radio Spectrum Management, saw the status of single-letter call signs revert back to the requirement for a six-month stand-down before they can be reallocated. That means that after holding the single letter call for 12 months, you now have to relinquish it and can't reapply again for the same single letter call until the 6 month stand down period has elapsed. This change, which was introduced without the usual courtesy of consultation with our administration liaison officer, has caused considerable angst amongst our contest operators. Don ZL2TLL, our Administration Liaison Officer, has made a formal submission to the Radio Spectrum Management Licensing Manager, as have other contest operators. I would encourage any of you listening to this broadcast to also make a submission to Radio Spectrum Management, objecting to the change. If you want more information about this, please let me know by phone or email to ZL1TGC@nzart.org.nz. Remember, if your branch is planning a junk sale or other significant activity, you are very welcome to make use of the NZART website to publicise upcoming events. Send an email to Alan, Z01AMW, at webmaster@nzart.org.nz, or drop a note to Debbie at headquarters with the details of your club activity, and Alan will make sure it gets onto the NZART webpage. Jamboree on the Air, or JOTA, is coming up again over the weekend of October the 19th and 20th. This is the 56th JOTA, and the theme for this year is Let's Share. It's not too soon to get in touch with your local scout or guide organisation and see what you can do to help them. JOTA is an excellent opportunity to introduce amateur radio to younger people, and I hope you'll take advantage of this. Finally, this month, we have some activity planned to help celebrate the centenary of the Anzac landings at Gallipoli, and this will take place in April 2015. I'm working with the Wireless Institute of Australia on a joint activity and would like to hear from any ZL amateurs who are considering attending the celebrations at Gallipoli in 2015. The Turkish Amateur Radio Society is planning to have a special event station operating from a location as close as possible to the Anzac commemorative site, and there will be an opportunity for visiting radio amateurs to take part. So please let me know if you're planning on being in Turkey in April 2015, and we'll see what we can organise to assist you with some amateur radio operation as part of this special event. Well, enough from me this month. It's back to you, Jim.
Thank you, Vaughan. The President of NZART, Vaughan Henderson, ZL1TGC. The Hamilton Amateur Radio Club Branch 12 will be holding their market day at the Waikato Table Tennis Stadium, Edgecombe Street in Hamilton, on Saturday, 17th of August. Selling commences at 10 a.m. For vendor requirements, table prices and much more, visit the Hamilton Amateur Radio Club website at www.zl1ux.org.nz. And to Upper Hutt we go, and it's a very good evening to NZRT Business Manager Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Good evening, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Not a lot of news this month, as I have been away. But I am happy to report there was no damage to the office nor the building after our recent spate of earthquakes. I confess I do like to listen to rock and roll, not feel it. A reminder that break-in will be due out in the coming couple of weeks. Included with this issue is your 2014 annual subscription invoice. So please take care when opening to ensure you don't accidentally dispose of it with the plastic wrapper. Finally, I would like also to take this opportunity to wish Topsy Scott, ZL2LS, a very speedy recovery after her back operation last week. If you are listening, Topsy, do as the doctors tell you and don't try anything else. That's all from me, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, our NZART Business Manager. From the VHF, UHF, SHF Contest Committee, a reminder that the next contest is the Brass Monkey Contest, all bands 50 MHz and above, next Saturday, the 3rd and Sunday, the 4th of August. The contest after that is the Microwave Contest, all bands 921 MHz and up. That's on Saturday the 5th and Sunday the 6th of October. Finally, don't forget the Field Day Contest, all bands 50 MHz and up, on Saturday the 7th and Sunday the 8th of December. For all contests, the operating periods are 1700 to 2300 on the Saturday and 0700 to 1300 on the Sunday, New Zealand local time. The rules are available at www.vhf.org.nz. All contest logs should be sent to arrive within 2 weeks to ZL2WA at clear.net.nz with contest log in the subject line. For a look now at amateur radio news on the international scene, we're off to Houston, Texas to join Newsline's Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
It was announced during the QB5 presentation at the recent AMSTAT UK International Space Colloquium that two CubeSats carrying SSB, CW, and FM voice transponders could be launched into a 600-kilometer or 370-mile orbit in the first half of 2014. The QB50 project team says that on July 19th, it had signed a Memorandum of Understanding with AMSTAT UK, AMSTAT Francophone, and AMSTAT NL to enable two amateur radio payloads to fly on a pair of CubeSats. These are mission precursor mini-satellites whose purpose is to permit the testing of key satellite and payload components ahead of the full QB50 mission. The primary objective of the QB50 mission is the study of temporal and spatial variations of a number of key parameters in the Earth's lower thermosphere, with a network of about 40 double CubeSats. These mini-birds will be launched into a 320-kilometer or 210-mile-high circular orbit. They will be separated by a few hundred feet and carry identical space sensors. These will monitor parameters that will greatly increase our knowledge and understanding of this little explored region of the E and F layers of the ionosphere. QB50 will also study the re-entry process by measuring a number of key parameters during re-entry and by comparing predicted and actual CubeSat trajectories and orbital lifetimes. At the beginning of the mission, the various payloads on board the spacecraft will be operated in a alternating fashion. Later, the amateur radio transponders will be operated as the primary mission once all QB50-related experimentation has been concluded. For Amateur Radio Newsline, Norm Seeley, KI7UP, watching the nighttime skies from here in Scottsdale, Arizona.
In a related story, the AMSAT News Service reports that the UCube-1 CubeSat, carrying an amateur radio transponder as a part of its payload, could launch in late October. As previously reported, UCube-1 will carry a set of AMSAT UK-designed FunCube 2 boards. These will provide the ham radio community with a 70-centimeter up and 2-meter downlink linear transponder for SSB and CW operation, along with a 1200 BPS BPSK telemetry beacon on 145.915 MHz. The actual satellite is being constructed in Scotland by Clyde Space, with its launch to take place from Kazakhstan on board a Russian Soyuz 2 orbital booster. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W0EF repeater serving Minneapolis, Minnesota. A recent investigation of interference to communications between pilots and the control tower for aircraft approaching Auckland Airport in New Zealand highlights the risk of unintended signals being generated as an unwanted side effect of radio broadcasting. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meachin reports from Down Under.
The investigation took several weeks to complete because of the low signal level and intermittent observations of the interference. Locating it involved considerable staff resources from the New Zealand Radio Spectrum Management Agency, as well as their renting an aircraft and pilot to locate the source from the air. When found, the problem proved to be an unwanted spurious emission from an FM broadcast transmitter in a community to the north of Auckland. The problem was quickly repaired by the broadcaster. In this case, the interference was not considered to be an immediate safety risk because of the availability of alternative aircraft radio communications channels. It did, however, present a significant annoyance and distraction to pilots flying into and out of the city. A recent study by New Zealand's neighbour across the Tasman Sea confirms the same problem exists in VK land. According to the Australian Communications and Media Authority, about 28% of the transmitters it checked showed the production of unwanted emissions, with many radiated in the aeronautical radio communication band. As such, these spurs do hold a potential risk to the safe operation of aircraft. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, in Nelson, New Zealand.
Auckland Airport is a major airline hub in New Zealand. It serves domestic airline flights as well as a transfer point for passengers going on to other locations. A new group has been formed on Facebook for hams wishing to schedule contacts with other amateurs worldwide. If you need a particular contact for an award or just a chat, then go to facebook.com/groups/hamsked and have a look. Much of today's latest portable electronics, including ham radio gear, is powered by lithium or lithium-ion batteries. But these same batteries have also become a safety concern, as we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Lithium batteries are undoubtedly popular, going by their wide use in consumer products and even higher power models in electric vehicles. However, they have been linked to fires, illicit drug makers, and medical problems. The recent death of a toddler in Queensland and others injured after swallowing them has again focused attention on the common power source. From January 2013, stricter regulations for the carriage of lithium batteries by air travellers was introduced, so it's best to check with your airline for the rules. They are new as of January 2013. A battery can also be a convenient source of lithium metal used in illegal meth labs. Sales of larger quantities are restricted for this reason in some areas. International industry standards for button batteries are soon to be introduced as an urgent safety measure. These are likely to include strengthened consumer education about the dangers and child restraint packaging for the cell batteries. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB of WIA News, reporting from Brisbane, Australia.
The bottom line is that when using these lithium batteries as a source of power for anything electronic, it is important to think safety first. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, near Houston, Texas, saying 7-3, and we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2013, all rights reserved.
Thanks, Skeeter, and as always, we say thank you to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. Well, it's time for a Waro update, so to the North Shore of Auckland we head now and say welcome to Rosemary, said L1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. The Hamilton Market Day is on Saturday, the 17th of August, and as usual, Wyos will get together for morning tea while the OMs are enjoying themselves looking for bargains. All Wyos are welcome to come along. They do not have to be WARO members to attend. The Australian WIO Group's 33rd ALARA phone and CW contest is being held on Saturday the 24th and Sunday the 25th of August from 0400 to 1359 UTC on both days. Previously the contest has been IHF only, but this year the rules have been changed to allow contacts on 2 metres and on Echolink. The contest is open to all licensed operators and there is also a section for shortwave listeners. Full details can be found in the latest ALARA magazine or on the website, which is www.alara.org.au/contests. A number of WARO members are also ALARA members and it is hoped they will get on the air and have some contacts during this contest. WARO is still looking for a member to volunteer their services as contest manager for our annual Thelma Super Memorial Contest. Contact any executive member for details. We're also looking for someone to help us upgrade our web page. BevZL1OS has done it up to now, but no longer has the facilities or time to continue. At the WARO AGM, it was unanimously agreed to recognise with an award the outstanding service given to WARO by Bev Osborne ZL1OS. Bev has been a WARO committee member, secretary, vice president, president, contest manager, one of the monthly net controllers, and for many years up to the present day, the editor and distributor of our WARO Bulletin magazine. She's also been active helping at local branch level. A plaque and certificate were to be presented to Bev this week with thanks and gratitude from WARO members. Congratulations, Bev, from us all. That's all from WARO for this month, Jim. Good night, everyone.
And thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for WARO, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. Finally, in tonight's official broadcast lineup, it's branch news. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. And we start from Whangarei Amateur Radio Club, Branch 28, which meets on Wednesday, August the 7th in their club rooms at Heritage Park in Whangarei. This meeting is the club's annual ladies' night with guest speaker Dee Dee Rycroft and her subject, Sponsoring Children in India. The Western Suburbs Radio Club, Branch 03, has its next meeting on Saturday the 24th of August at the club rooms on 3000 Great North Road in New Lynn, starting 10 a.m. This will be a bring and tell. The Auckland VHF Group, Branch 66 NZART, has its next meeting on Monday the 12th of August, starting 7:30 p.m. at the Hazel Avenue Club Rooms. Dr. David Krofcheck of Auckland University will give a talk on the Large Hadron Collider, the story of the international nuclear physics research tool created to search for the Higgs boson. David has been directly involved in the Hadron Collider and is a New Zealand connection to this experiment. He will talk about the basic ideas concerning the collider and the latest developments. And lastly, the next meeting of Nelson Branch 26 is on Wednesday, August the 21st at 7:30 p.m. at the National Party Electorate Office meeting rooms situated on the corners of Waimea and Quarantine Roads. The club night will be a used and pre-loved equipment sale. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
And thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next issue of NZRT Headquarters Infoline will be emailed on Friday, the 2nd of August. Remember, you can subscribe for your copy of this bulletin of news on the NZRT webpage at www.nzart.org.nz. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 25th of August. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for July 2013. Good night, everyone. Good night now.